people. The church is like not just this, it's this right here. It's a beautiful thing, and we all work in different ways to see the work of God done in our lives and in other people's lives. That's what being the church is all about. We don't want to just mark off our Sunday, I went to church checklist. We want to say, hey, I want to be the church Sunday through Saturday. I want to be the church every minute of every day. So how do we do that? Last week, Pastor talked about that we got to know what we believe. How many of you guys know that we need to know why we believe what we believe, right? How many of you guys, you used to be me, I used to be terrified for someone to ask me what I believed in, because I really didn't know that well. Jesus, you know, like that's kind of all I knew. So it's really important for us to know what we believe. And the second thing is that what we're going to talk about today is we need to know, if we're going to be the church, how to walk in the Spirit. Everyone say, the Spirit. So, the Spirit. When I grew up, I used to think this was a really weird thing, kind of like Uncle Fred that came. You never knew what he was going to do when he came over. He was kind of weird and smelled funny, and everyone just kind of was like, okay, we need to get him out of here as quick as possible. That's how most people see the Spirit, right? People are like, I don't know about this. If we open our church to this, it may get weird, you know? But there's nothing weird about the Spirit. In fact, we're gonna see this morning that every single one of us have full access to this thing called the Spirit at all times if you believe in Jesus. And it's really, really cool. To illustrate that, I'm going to tell you a story about two dogs. And don't worry, I promise it's going to make sense after we get through this. My friend Cody, he is one of my best friends. He was the assistant pastor of the church that I youth pastored in Farmington, New Mexico. He and I are really close, and when Brittany and I were leaving, we had this dog named Jax. We called him another name, Coda. That's right, Coda. And he is a black German Shepherd lab mix. Beautiful dog, but he was huge. And Cody had just lost one of his dogs and had another dog. And he's like, man, I want another dog. And we're like, okay, here you go, buddy. You know, like, we love this dog, but you can have him, okay? Because our yard was really small and our house literally was like littered with hair. And we're like, hey, you know what? We're about to have a baby. Let's move on. So we gave him Jax, and we love Jax. He is a great dog. But Cody took him. And then his other dog actually died. So he had Jax. And then he just, a few months ago, adopted this dog that I don't even know what it is. It's a mix of a mix of a mix. And it just looks kind of like a dog, you know, normal dog that you would see. And these are the dogs. So go ahead and throw the first slide up. This is Jax. Aw, he's so cute. He really is a good dog. He'd always run at me, not realizing he's 100 pounds, and smash into my legs, and you know how that goes. And the next dog is this one. That's Kelly. She's a cute mix of a mutt, you know, like just cute. So here's the deal. These two dogs found out on Facebook that they got out of the fence. All right. And so I called Cody. I'm like, you know, because Jax was my dog. I could still claim rights. No, I'm just kidding. I called him. I'm like, hey, what happened, man? He's like, well, here's the deal. I guess my oldest son left the gate open and the dogs just got out. And it's been actually a couple days. We have not found these dogs. And I was like, okay, man, well, I'll be praying for you. And days and days went by. And they're still posting on Facebook like, we can't find these dogs anywhere. I'm like, geez, these dogs are really gone. And then they find one of the dogs. Kelly, go ahead and put that first one up there. They found her. She met a friend. It wasn't a very nice friend, right? This is a bad day for that dog. And Cody, man, I call him. I'm like, man, so you didn't find Jax yet? He's like, no, we're still praying that we'll find him. And a couple days later, they found Jax. Look at Jax. They both met friends. That's terrible, right? And my friend, here's the deal. So he gets the dogs. They're not doing well. He takes them to the vet, and the vet said, thank God you found them, because literally a day more, they would have died because they couldn't eat, they couldn't drink, none of that. And so it cost Cody $900 to get these dogs dequilled, right? And he said when he brought them home, he brings them in, and they're just mad at each other. Like, you did this. No, you did it, you know. And I guarantee you, they are never going to sniff the butt of a porcupine ever again, you know. Like, I told them the dumb dog is the second dog that sniffed the porcupine. You think they'd learn after the first one, but no, the second dog's, I don't know. Jax is probably the second dog. He wasn't the smartest dog in the world. Anyway, no, it's an interesting story because I told him, I'm like, man, I'm going to use that in a sermon someday. I really did tell him that. And I'm like, this is the day, all right? Because here's the deal. There's three types of dogs, and you guys are always going to remember this sermon. There's three types of dogs. There's wild dogs, and those are dogs that have always been in the wild. They're wild dogs. What they are. In fact, all dogs started wild, right? At some point, humans said, we're going to domesticate these things. They brought them in. Then there's the second dog, and that's the domestic dog. That's the dog that someone invited them into their home, said, come on in. And this dog has stayed in comfort and in peace, being fed and having everything that they need. And then there's the domestic dog that wants to be a wild dog, right? The dog that's in the fence, but they're constantly going, I think it looks better out there. You know, Brittany and I purchased this dog to come into our home. His name was Ranger. He's a great dog, and I loved him. He would walk with me and everything, but the minute you'd set him outside, literally, you would open the door, close the door, open the door, and he was gone. And he was gone for like months. He was a wild dog. We tried to domesticate him, but he still wanted to be a wild dog. And just like there's three types of dogs, there's three types of spiritual positions that you and I will find ourselves in throughout our life. And so if you're offended that I'm portraying us as dogs, Jesus used sheep, so sheep are way dumber than dogs. You can picture yourself as like a Rottweiler or a Pekingese, whatever you want, you know. But there's three types of dogs, there's three kinds of spiritual positions that we find ourselves in. The first one is this. Just like a wild dog is wild, we find that there is a sinful man. All right. Now, we're going to read real quick through a few verses, but if you want to go to Romans 8, we're going to sit there in Scripture basically the whole day. Romans 8, we're going to go through that. But just real quick, the first one, the sinful man, or some versions will say the flesh. This is before you gave your life to God, you are a wild dog. You didn't know any different. It's what you knew. You couldn't behave like a domesticated dog because you weren't a domesticated dog. There was nothing you could do about it. You were running around doing your own thing, right? And this is the sinful man. Romans 8:5 says this, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. So couldn't do anything about it, right? It is what you were. Before you came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, you couldn't do anything that pleased God. You couldn't. It is not who you were because you were wild. The second one is the spirit man. This is the domesticated dog. This is the one that Jesus paid the cost for you to come into that gate. He's opening it and saying, welcome, come in. And we go into the gate. I like this. This is cool. He gives me all the food I want. And he takes care of me. He everything I'll ever need to live, man, it's right here. In fact, I've got safety. I don't have to be out there anymore and get porcupined. I don't have to deal with cougars and all these things. Like, this is good. And this is the spirit man. Romans 8:5 says, but those who live according to the spirit, the things of the spirit. And the third one is this, and this is the carnal man. We're going to look at this a little more. But this is the man that has accepted that invitation. Hey, I want to come. I want to be a part of the family of God. And you're in that fence, and you're like, man, this is great. And then you see that dog on the other side of the fence. You're like, she's hot. I'd like to be out there, you know? Right? I'd like to go and see what that mountain's like over there. I think that porcupine looks really good. I'd like to make friends with him. And we're like on the fence, hey, what's up? In fact, we try to get out constantly, right? And this is the carnal man. Romans 8:6, we're going to talk a lot about this, says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So we have wild dogs, fence dogs, or domesticated dogs, and domesticated dogs that want to be outside the fence, wild dogs, or just sinful men. spirit man and carnally minded men and women, right? Those are three types of positions that a person can find themselves in this world. And before we get much further, let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity to get to know your word, to get to know you. And I pray, Lord, that as we look at this concept, God, that it would bring us to an understanding so that we can live a life, an amazing life that you designed us to live. God, that we would live the best life and not just meagerly get by. In your name, Jesus, amen. Amen. So the first thing that I want to tell you this morning is if you have accepted Jesus, there's something you need to know. You no longer need to beg him for anything. Okay? In Ephesians 1:3, and I want to start here because it's really important. It says, and I read this a lot because I have to remember this. It says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, everyone said has, it's past tense, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. It was nothing we could do other than believe. The minute you accepted Jesus into your life, you were given full access to the Spirit. Every good thing. You were given access to healing. You were given access to peace and joy. You were access to the good life. All right? Maybe not the life we really want for ourselves in the flesh, but the good life, the best life, right, if we live it for Him. And what we're going to do is we're going to go to Romans 8 and see how we begin to walk in this. How we begin to walk in the Spirit, in the blessings that God has given us, all right? A lot of people, me, for a lot of my life, and if you hear me preach, you'll hear me say this basically every time, I used to think that I had to try to get something from God, but what I realize now is that I just need to receive what He has already given. And this morning, let's see how we do that. In Romans 8, starting in verse 1, again, we're gonna stay here the rest of the morning. It says this, so now, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Let's stop there. We're going to do this a lot. We're going to read a little bit. We're going to stop. The song that we sang this morning, How He Loves Us, how Pastor said exactly what I was going to say this morning. He took my thunder. No, I'm just kidding. It's so perfect because we need to understand that when we accept Jesus, there is no condemnation for us anymore. God's not in heaven with a lightning bolt and a long gray beard waiting for you to mess up so He can zap you and put cursing on you. Like, He's not doing that. He loves you so much. There's no condemnation for you. The thing that God wants for us is to live the best possible life, right? It's not so that He can be angry with us. It's like you're a dad and your little son is doing things that you know are not going to lead him down a great path. And you're like, no, son, you need to do this. And if you do this, it's going to go great. But you keep hitting the dog. The dog will bite back, ding dong. You know, like, don't hit the dog. So I'm gonna help you get away from the dog. You know, like, that's what God's doing. He's saying, hey, there is no condemnation. I'm not mad at you. I'm not angry. I'm not going to, like, throw you out of the house. I just need you to understand I have a better way for you, right? There is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Him, verse 2, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. So, again, because you belong to Him, over and over, Paul's going to say, it has nothing to do with what you've done, with your works, with trying to behave like a good person. It's because you belong to Him. When you accept Jesus and say, God, you're my everything. Jesus, I believe in you. You have access to the power of the life-giving Spirit, and that Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. And he goes into this further in verse 3. He says, the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent His own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. So quick history lesson, because if you're confused this morning, I'm going to just try to go through this super fast. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created two people, Adam and Eve. Adam was first. Adam and Eve chose to sin. When they did that, they brought this thing called sin into the world. And because of that, their entire line, their entire lineage was now embedded with this sinful nature, which kept us enemies of God. That's what the Bible says. And that's the whole story of the redemption story of the Bible, is how mankind needed a Savior, because if we died without a Savior, we were destined for hell. We were destined for destruction. So Jesus died on the cross for our sins, so that we could be set free of the sinful nature and be one with Christ. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Because without that, we could not do it, right? And the minute we accept Jesus, we are reborn. It's called baptism. A new person, a new creation, is immediately in your spirit reborn. And our spirit that was dead, that was an enemy of God, is now united with Christ. And God sees you like he sees Jesus. Perfect, blameless, spotless. And he is so pleased with you. He loves you. For there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? And that's what we get access to. And it says this, you go on, and it says in verse 5, those who are dominated by the sinful nature. Now this is the person who has not accepted Christ. Think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, think about things that please the Spirit. So this is the wild dog, the sinful man. And the domesticated dog, the spirit man, the one that has Christ paid the cost so that you could come into the fence. It's like if you want to go get a dog, what do you have to do? You have to purchase that dog, right? You do. Every dog I've ever gotten, I've had to go and choose to purchase that dog. Could that dog have paid its own cost? No. That dog couldn't do enough flips. It couldn't do anything. It couldn't beg hard enough to get released from that pen. But I, someone above that dog, could go, here, I paid for it, I worked for it, here you go. Come into my house, come into my family, be one with me, and you get in anything you want, take it. That's the same thing that God has done for us. We could never pay our cost. We are incapable because we're human, and he is God. He had to step in to our mess and pay the cost that we never could pay. Does that make sense? Right? It's good preaching. Okay, here we go. All right, verse 6, it says this, it's interesting wordage. It says, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. Letting. Letting is a word that means you made a cognitive decision, right? So this is not talking about the sinful man, the man who could not ever make a decision to follow the Spirit. He's talking to Christians right now. He's saying, hey, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. This is for the Christian too. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. He's saying, hey man, don't be carnal. If you are a Christian, you now have a decision that you can make. You can either follow the Spirit of God and live in his blessings and live in all the amazing power that comes from that life-giving Spirit, or you can do your own thing and your life is going to lead to destruction. I always say this, it must be really hard, and I've lived this way so I can say this, I know this, it is really hard. It must be really hard to live a carnally minded Christian life. Because you have to wear a mask no matter where you go. If you are living for the world, then you have to wear the mask of the world. And when you go to church, you have to wear the mask of a Christian. And what happens is that mask sometimes will come off. And people will see us for what we truly are. And we have to make a decision to say, okay, what am I going to do? Am I going to live as a carnally minded Christian? Am I going to still do what I want? Or am I going to do what is going to lead me to life? Right? Verse 7, it says this, for the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. Number 9, but you, speaking to these Christians, he's saying, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And he adds this thing. He says, and remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. So again, if you haven't accepted Jesus, you don't have access to it. And I encourage every single one of you, if you haven't accepted Jesus yet, accept him. Because then you get access to all this that we're going to talk about here in a second. And it's good. It's really good. But you've got to first make that decision. And then second, for those of us who are Christians this morning, you have to realize that if you are letting, as he says here in verse 6, if you are letting the sinful nature control your life, you are not pleasing God. You're not, right? You're not pleasing him. I want to please God. We go on in verse 10, it says, and Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, 10 out of 10 of us will die, right? Unless Jesus comes back. The Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Here's the cool thing. This is talking about two different things, and different theologians will say different things about this, but you can look at it in two different ways. One is this, that word life is a Greek word that I'm not even going to try to pronounce because I will butcher it. I've got it right here. There's no way. So here's the deal. It's life, like physical life. So one, yes, you and I, we are going to raise from the dead someday. He is going to take the mortal body, this body, your body that you have right now, he is going to raise from the dead. And it's going to be perfected, thank the Lord, right? But it's this body. This body is going to be perfected. Like, that's cool, right? That's cool. We're not just going to be some mystical, weird place, right? Like, this body is going to be perfected. That Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is going to do the same thing with us. It's going to raise us up. But also, this can mean for now, too, because here's the deal. God has given you access to healing. He's given you access to peace and joy and stress-free living. You can ask any doctor, will I live longer if I live a stress-free life? He'll say, yeah, a lot longer, right? Not only are we going to raise someday, but if we follow God's way, we are going to live a good life, right? Amen, Austin. That's good. That's good. Verse 12, I know it's a lot, but it's good. It's good. In verse 12, it says, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation. Again, this is a choice. You have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But through the power of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Let's talk about this, make this really easy to understand. This is us. We're moved from dogs to glass. Okay. This is us. Before you accepted Christ, you had nothing in you that could please God. You were empty. We were just full of sin. And you can imagine the air that's in this cup is like sin, right? There is not one thing that you or I could do to please God because there's nothing in us that pleases him. Sin is detestable to God, and that's what was in us, right? There's nothing we could do. We couldn't bail the air out of here if we tried, right? Oh, I'm going to try to stop cussing. I'm going to try to stop doing things I shouldn't do. No, it doesn't matter. You can't please God. It doesn't matter how righteous of a person, if you aren't saved by God, then you're still the most righteous sinner there is, right? That's what it is. Self-righteousness, right? But the second that you accept Jesus, God has this thing called the Spirit, and it's just full. And he goes, oh, here you go, man. And this is leaking, by the way, sorry. He goes, here you go. And he just gives that to us. You have full access to this at any point that you want. And in fact, when we accept Jesus, what happens is we start getting filled with that Spirit because, one, we have access to it. It's there. I don't want you to think like we've got to do things to get this. God's given this to us. But here's the deal. Yes, now we are pleasing to God. The minute one drop hit there, like, we're pleasing God. He loves us because the Spirit of Christ has been united to us. But here's the deal. We still got a lot of stuff in us that needs to get out in order to live the best possible life that God has for us to live, right? This right here, this is a carnally minded Christian. We know some things of God. Like, we accepted Jesus and life is good, but we cannot get this out. Even if we tried, a lot of Christians are right here. Man, I wish I could stop cussing. Man, I really want to stop drinking. I want to stop smoking. I want to stop doing this. I want to stop doing that. I really want to stop. And we just try to tell ourselves to stop enough, but the fact is that it's still here. You can't make air come out because you have to fill it with something in order to get this out. The more that you begin to fill yourself with the things of God, His word, time spent with Him, what happens is the things of the Spirit begin to be revealed to you. You're doing, as the Bible says, renewing your mind, changing your thought patterns, and all this healing and stress-free life, joy and peace, and all the blessings of God begin to be manifest in us because we're getting the junk out. Not that we're doing it, but because we're filling ourselves with the Spirit, the life-giving Spirit, right? Does this make sense? It made sense to me, and if it makes sense to me, I know it's got to make sense to normal people. Okay? So here's the reality. Every single day of your life, we are surrounded by the world, things of the world. You watch television, and what happens is this. We begin to be poured out. And it's like, you ever find yourself in this place? Like, you were filled to the brim. You could look temptation in the eye and be like, I don't think so, man. But for some reason, a month later, now all of a sudden you're falling into all those same sin issues you were dealing with before. It's because you are not daily filling yourself with the Spirit. And as the world comes in, it goes and it goes and it goes, and we let stress and thoughts of life come in, and we're emptied. And what do we have to do? We have to go back to God and say, God, I need to be filled with you. And He goes, well, hey, it's here. It's always been here. And all you need to do is come to me. You who are heavy and weary, for my yoke is easy and light. And man, I have blessed you and I've given you and I love you. And oh man, your life's going to be great. And all of a sudden, you fill yourself to the place that you find yourself, sickness isn't affecting you anymore. And stress, it's not really affecting you anymore. And you have peace in the midst of horrible situations. See, you didn't do this. God did. God gave you something that you never had access to. You couldn't have tried or begged or anything, but see, God, in His love and in His grace, said, hey, I'm going to give them everything up front and ask for nothing. All I'm going to ask for is that they would believe. Jesus constantly looks at the disciples and said, you have little faith. If you just believe, you could look at that mountain and cast in the sea, and we read that and you go, yeah, right now, really? That's what He said. There's never a time the disciples came up to a person who asked for healing and said, well, let's ask God, and He may not do it. Never. That didn't happen. Because they were constantly filling themselves with the Spirit. It said every day they talked about God together. They prayed and they worshiped. What were they doing? They were filling themselves with the Spirit. Christian, in here, can I tell you what this looks like for me? I'll notice real quick, and I've said this many times, and I just hope this sinks in. I'll notice in my life, and can we be big enough people to notice in our life, when we all of a sudden we're feeling more angry than we should? Or we're looking at our spouse and we're like, man, I'd love to tell you off right now, you know? Like, we're around our kids and they're just bugging us all the time. We don't have good attitudes. And you know what? We a lot of times, what do? We go to God, oh God, please help me to be nicer to my spouse. Oh God, please help me. And that's okay. It's okay to ask that. But what we need to do is we say, thank you, God, that you've given me the ability to be kind to my spouse. Thank you, God, that you love me, that you love my spouse. Thank you that you've given me access to peace and joy and thankfulness. And all of a sudden we find that, man, oh, I feel good. My spouse comes in, baby, I love you so much. You're so beautiful. Right? Why? Because we have set our mind on the things of the Spirit instead of the things of this world. If you begin to set your mind on the things of this world, here's what happens. And we're right back there. It's this ongoing thing called sanctification that's constantly happening. And you, as Paul says, have to let the Spirit guide your life. When I was going into college, I didn't know where I was supposed to go. And so what I did is I fasted. I said, okay, God, every evening, what I'm going to do is I'm just not going to eat dinner, and I'm going to take that hour, and I'm going to pray. And at first, what I thought fasting was about was I would do something so God would respond. And then through this process, I realized, no, that's not it at all. What it is that God has already given me the answers that I need. I have to attune myself to His Spirit so that I get those answers that He already has for me. Do you understand? So it's not that we're trying to beg God to give us an answer, tell me what your will is. He just goes, hey, it's here for you. Attune yourself to me. So when I fast, we're going to do fast throughout this year, it's not about doing something so that God shows up. It's attuning ourselves to His Spirit in a way that we know Him that well, right? As His Spirit is poured out on us, we're walking in His will. Why? Because we're filled with the Spirit. We're filled with His understanding. We've renewed our mind. Can I tell you, when you deprive yourself of something that you really want and say, God, no, you're more important, you are filling yourself with that Spirit. That life-giving Spirit. We don't have to bend God's arm behind His back and say, tell me what I need to do with my life. Tell me what I'm supposed to do. No, I don't want to. You haven't been good enough yet. That's what a lot of Christians do, right? Can we be honest? But what God is saying is, no, hey, it's available to you. It's available because I love you that much. You're not trying to work for this. I've given it to you, so here's the deal. Let the Spirit guide your life. Let it guide every moment of every single day. I asked my dad I'm gonna finish up here really soon. I asked my dad, Dad, what would you tell someone if they asked you, how do I live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit? He said, here's the deal, and I thought this was really good. He said, every single person on this earth, what we want the most is what is gonna make us happy. Right? So here's the deal. What makes you happy? Because that's what you're going to want the most. And if you know that God is going to make you the most happy, then you're going to focus on Him. But if you think there's other things in this world that are going to make you more happy than God, you're going to focus on those things. So if you think Netflix is going to make you more happy than God, you're going to consume yourself with Netflix. If you think that Instagram and Facebook are going to make you more happy, if you think alcohol or drugs or whatever is going to make you more happy, that's what you're going to consume yourself with. Everything other than God is going to leave us empty. The only thing that we can consume ourselves with that is going to give us life and peace and joy and all these things is the Spirit. It's literally the only thing because everything else is of the world. I'm not saying you can't like your family. I hope you like your family. I hope you enjoy Netflix. That's okay. But what are we consuming ourselves with? Right? Yeah. Are you a wild dog? Are you a domesticated dog? Or are you wanting to always jump that fence? Because I promise you, on the other side is that porcupine. I promise you. I've been there. We've all been there. Let's be honest. And the things that we think we got away with, they're going to come back to bite you in the butt. They do. It's the way. It's what it says. He says, hey, sinful nature leads to death. That's just the way it is. So think about this. Is God first in your family, in your friends, in the way that you treat them, in the way that you treat your neighbors? Is he first over your sin issues, over your hobbies, over your finances? Is God first? And remember, I'm not saying this because I'm trying to get you in fear of God, like, oh, God's going to, he's mad at you. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What God wants, we need to start seeing God as someone who wants the best for us, not wanting to hurt us. You know what I'm saying? There's a story of a pastor, a pretty large church, and he sent out the offering. And when he sent it out, he walked down, and as the bucket went, he walked through every single pew, as the bucket did, and he watched the eyes of every person that gave, and those who didn't. And as you could imagine, there's people sweating, people mad and angry. And he walked through those pews, and at the end, he came up and he got on the pulpit, and he said, for those of you that are hurt by what I just did, remember that every week Jesus walks these pews. He sees what you give. He sees your heart. He knows the things that you're going to give him and the things that you're holding back from him. And he loves you too much to let you go on without convicting you of what you're doing that's wrong. And we could say for finances, we could say for sin issues, that there is a Father in heaven that is so in love with us, that doesn't want us to get porcupine quills in our face, doesn't want us to die, doesn't want us to live life estranged from our family and our kids. He wants us to live the best possible life that we could ever imagine, but you've got to fill yourself. It's a decision that we have to make. As Sonia comes up, I just want to invite you to bow your head and close your eyes. And for those of you in here, if you have never accepted Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to become a part of the family. So if you would just bow your head, close your eyes, every person in here, if you've never accepted Christ and today you want to say, hey, that's me, I want to have access to this life, would you just raise your hand and say, that's me. That's what I want. That's what I want. Cool, guys. Cool. That's awesome. For those of you, you know, like, hey, there's some things, and this is me too, there's some things in my life I've got to give back to God. I don't want to be carnally minded. I want to immerse myself in His Spirit. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but you know who you are. It's probably every single one of us. I want you to begin to think right now in your mind, what are those things that I am keeping back from God? What are the areas of my life that I need to get right and fill myself with His Spirit so that I can begin to live right? He doesn't want you to just stop it. He wants you to fill yourself with Him and get to know Him so well that you're not going to want to do those sin issues. You're not going to desire those things you used to desire. He wants you to fill yourself with Him to the point that you are changing people's lives around you, but you can't do that until you make that decision in your mind that, God, I'm going to honor you and you above everything. I want to fill myself with you, Father. If that's you, just begin to pray about that right now. God, I want to give that area to you. God, I want to spend more time with you. Just begin on your own right now. Just begin to speak that on your own. Lord, I pray as a church that we will be so filled of your Spirit that we couldn't let a day go by without talking to someone about you. That the things that come against us, that this world brings, sickness, disease, anger, resentment, bitterness, the sin issues of this world, God, that they would not affect us. That the things that the enemy has brought in, God, that they would not even bother us because we're so full of you. And Father, I just pray for any person in here that they're going through some things in their life that they just do not know how they're going to get out of. I pray, God, that they would fall desperately in love with you. that they would spend every waking moment, God, in communion with you, spending time with you, reading your word in prayer, not so that they can get you to fix their life, but so that they could understand the things that you have given them so that their life could be one of peace and life. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for dying on the cross so that we could have access to that. We love you. In your name, Jesus, amen. And amen. Thank you so much for coming this morning. If you need anything...